This training track, entitled Building a Gospel-Centered and Innovative Children's Work, Session 1, How It Fits Together by Stephen Dawson and Joe Fay, was recorded at the New Frontiers Together in a Mission Conference 2009 in Brighton.
Good morning. How are you all doing? Good. Have you had a good first day? Yeah, okay. You're going to soon learn that I need a bit more response than that for the seminar to work. Okay, I'm a children's worker. Come on. So, my name's Stephen Dawson, and I've got the real privilege of hosting the seminar track this week. I'm the children's and youth pastor at Church of Christ the King, Brighton, so I'm very lucky that I just hopped out of my own bed this morning and had a trundle along here, which is very nice. I'm sure some of you are from much further afield. And I got asked to do the seminar track because we've actually overhauled our children's work in the last year, and Terry Virgo, who leads the conference, goes to our church, so he's heard nothing but children's work for the last kind of 18 months as we prepared for it and as we've kind of relaunched. And so I think he eventually went, okay, it would be great to do it at the conference as well. So I was like, cool. So we've done lots of work on our children's work. We've really looked into, we kind of had a blank sheet of paper to start again, really. And we didn't need to start again necessarily. There's lots of good things about how children's work did originally run, but we wanted to make lots of changes. And so we did a lot of thinking. We did a lot of praying. We went to lots of different churches and looked at what they did. We looked at various different books and all kinds of stuff and just started again and think, what is it we wanted to do? So we went through quite a big process, and hopefully you guys are going to benefit from the process that we went through as we just kind of talk about what it looks like to re-look at your children's work from kind of every angle. And so that's kind of where we're going this week. We want you guys to have the best children's work you can possibly get. We've learned lots of lessons that we want you guys to learn. We are still learning ourselves. One of the best things about the process we went through is by rubbing shoulders with other children's workers and just seeing the things, that the struggles they've been through or the great things they'd seen, just learning off each other. And so the nice thing about this seminar is it's not massive. Actually, out of some of the seminars, some are going to be rammed in. We're not rammed in here. There's lots of space. But it's an opportunity for us to get to know each other as well and just kind of hook up with different people and find out what's good for their children's work, what's some of the lessons that they've learned. So we can even learn some stuff of you, I hope, because by no means is our children's work the finished article. There's still many areas that we're still working very hard on, and we want to just kind of, learn off you guys as well. So, let's see. I'm just talking a bit more about myself. I'm Stephen Dawson. My wife is here as well. Give her a wave. And my wife is actually 2 days overdue, pregnancy-wise, and so we may leave at any point, and I may not return tomorrow. But that's okay. We've got other people to fill in if that happens. I grew up in a Christian household, and my dad was a children's and youth pastor as well, which is quite funny. And he relaunched the children's work, and he did his job. And so I had a great experience as a child, as a young person, in a great church. And I came to Brighton just under 9 years ago, and I've been involved with children's work ever since. I worked full-time for a kids' club that we had here for a couple of years, and then for the last 18 months I've been working for the church again, doing children's and youth work. I love it with all my heart. It's great. I love kids, and I love seeing them come to know the gospel. I love seeing them standing on good truths and living their life for him. And it's just an absolute passion for me. It's one of many passions, to be honest with you, but it is a passion of mine. It's been such a privilege to work for the church. And I know sometimes it doesn't always feel like it. To me, some weeks I think, why am I doing this? I was a landscape gardener for a few years. I thought, sometimes I look out my office window and think, oh, I'd much prefer to be outside digging up someone's lawn than dealing with some of the admin you end up doing or stuff. But I do love it with a passion. It's a great opportunity just to talk to you this week. So that's a little bit about myself. I want you guys this week to feel free to beg, steal, and borrow. That's what we've done. All the lessons we've learned, some of them are real God things that God's given us, but most of it, the vast majority, we have just stolen off other people unashamedly. Normally we've told them we've stolen it, or we've bought their book, so it's kind of okay. But so I want you just to feel free just to steal things. Go for it. You know, any idea you think's great, take it and use it, okay? And don't feel ashamed of doing that at all. We take things from scripture, we take things from people's personal experiences. We've got a whole bunch of books and resources that we'll be recommending over the next few days. And learn from other children's workers. So I'm Stephen. I want to just quickly get Joe to stand up. This is Joe Fay, who, thanks Joe, she is also at Church of Christ the King, in Brighton, and she's like the children's work coordinator. She does a lot of the hard work. So we do a lot of thinking together and working out how to do it and have great meetings. And I go away with an action list that's about this long, and she goes away with a big list like this and really does everything. And she's brilliant. She's got a great mind and great experience as well behind her. We share a birthday. It's all good. And she also has a real passion that children's workers would link up together, and we'd have much more of a feel of doing things together. Often, your church leaders, I'll ask in a minute who you are in a minute, but sometimes as a children's worker, other leaders in the church don't understand what you're going through, or your teams don't understand what you're going through. You're kind of in a unique position, and it's really helpful to spend time with other children's workers because they understand some of the things that you're going through. And Joe's got a real passion to make that happen. We kind of do that in Sussex a bit, and so I'm just going to introduce some other guys. You'd like to stand up. I think this would be a good opportunity to pray. And I'm going to pray, and then we're going to pray for one another, but I'll pray first. Lord God, we thank you that we can be here today, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity to impart what you've given us to our children, Lord God. We thank you that it's such a privilege to disciple young ones. Thank you even for Steph's session yesterday. It's just saying that actually, God, you tell us to be childlike, Lord God. It's something so wonderful to work with children, just see their characteristics, and actually see that's what you're asking us to be, Lord. Not childish, but childlike, Lord God. And I pray as we spend time together over the next few days, Lord, you'd really speak to each and every one of us, Lord God. I would hate any of us to go away without encountering you in the wider sense of the conference, Lord God, but also just refreshing us for the ministry and the tasks you've given us, Lord. I pray for those that are already in ministry and in children's ministry, Lord God, we just know something fresh for themselves. Lord, I pray for those who are thinking about starting it, Lord God, that you just give them the tools to do that, Lord God. So, Lord, we do pray and just ask that you would come amongst us, Lord God. I pray help each of us who are up the front on the microphone, Lord, just to articulate the things that you've put in our heart, Lord God. I pray that many kind of weeks of preparation, Lord, would really be fruitful this week. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So to the end of getting to know each other, I'd love you just to find two or three people, and let's just pray for one another. Maybe just quickly share who you are, why you're here, and then let's just pray for one another, okay? So go and grab some people, and let's do that. Pray that we have a good week together. Okay, that's enough. That's enough praying. All of you who are still praying. You haven't prayed yet? Okay. That's it. You put your children. What songs do you use at your church? No. Okay, you've got 2 minutes to finish praying. Go. I'm now going to talk. Excellent. Good stuff. Okay, so, real quickly, you should all have one of these as you came in. Excellent. This is just wanted to give you, we got one of these for each day. I know you've probably got notepads and stuff that you can take notes in, but we thought it might be helpful to have it all together in one place, and it just, for some of the speakers, it's got points. Some of us, it's just got the title, depending on who got themselves together and sent me the email when they're meant to, Andy. And Jez. So that's meant to be helpful for you. If it's not, don't worry about it. The other thing I want to know is I want to know who you guys are. I want to know who here is the church leader of their church. Any church leaders? Both. Okay, great. Okay, so it's nice. Lots of leaders of children's work. That's brilliant. Well, we're glad you're here. Like I said earlier, I just want to quickly say, I've got 3 points on the second page, just that some of this will be for you to directly transfer. You think, wow, I hear that, we're definitely going to do it and take it. Or some of you might say, actually, we can see the principle you're using and we can use it in our children's work, but it's different for us. Like, you may be a bigger church or a small church, so it might not work for you. Or maybe it's not transferable at all. You think, that's nice for you, but that's not for us. It's not going to work in our setting. Just think about that as you're hearing these things. You think, actually, can we use that? Can we use that? Is that something we can use? Another thing I want to say is just quickly what the seminars are going to look like. Each day, we've got 2 speakers. You will notice on the in the handout that there's 2 speakers each day. Today's a bit funny because I'm topping and tailing this session. But each day, actually, Jo Fay will be doing the lion's share of the speaking this week. She'll be speaking for half an hour each day. And then one of the men will be speaking each day as well. And then after that, we'll have a Q&A session. So you guys can ask us whatever you want, or you can make comments and say, yeah, I hear you saying that, but that sounds like a load of rubbish. Or that doesn't sound like that would work practically. And you're welcome to say whatever you want. within reason. And we'll try and work it out. Like I said, we want to learn a few as much as anything. So if we'll be very honest about areas that we're weak in. You can say, well, have you tried this? And that'd be really helpful. And then we'll probably finish. We don't want to go right up to the time because we want to give you guys an opportunity just to talk with one another. If you started a conversation during the prayer time, or we've got a bit of group work a bit later. How exciting. And we want to be able to have those conversations as well. Okay. So what I want to talk about now is why we've called it building a gospel-centered and innovative children's work. I really wanted to get a good title that was going to be really gripping. I thought maybe we should call it Wildfire or something like this. And Joe was like, well, I don't really think it says what we want, is it? I was like, okay, good point. So these are things that are massive in our hearts, is building a gospel-centered and innovative children's work. We didn't just put two kind of buzzwords in together, but that actually really means something to us. So the first slide is, why gospel-centered? And this is from, why does it need to be gospel-centered? We believe that children's work should be totally all about Jesus. Obviously, our whole faith, all our church, everything we do is all about Jesus. And that should be the same with our children's work. And Jesus even talks about it on the Emmaus Road to the disciples. He says this, and beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. That's Luke 24:37. That really shaped what we did. So we've used lots of resources of lots of different people. We often find that it's not gospel-centered. It's not about Jesus. It's very tempting in children's work to think, okay, how can we make this bunch of children a better bunch of children? And actually, that's not what we're meant to be doing. That's not our role as the church. Our role is to make sure they know the gospel, that they know Jesus, and they enter into a relationship with him. I would hate for any child to go through CCK's children's work and come out the other end and know some morals from some stories in the Old Testament. That's not what I want. I want them to see Jesus. I want them to leave either having been saved or to at least know the gospel. To know, to go away and know what the gospel is. That is our absolute number one. That is our heart. We don't want to depart from that. And that's very much where, as a movement, we've been talking about the last few years. If you've been at the conference over the last few years, you've heard lots of talk about Tim Keller and making all your preaching gospel-centered. And so that's what we've been doing as a church. So on Sunday, whatever passage we're looking at, we're always going to come back to where does Jesus fit in this? Where does the gospel come into this? We never want to move past that. The gospel isn't kind of the basics that we move on for. It's not the ABCs. The gospel is the A to Z of everything we do. And that's so important. And hopefully we're going to thread that right through these next three sessions. That's what it's about. I'm going to give you a quick example about that. We went to teach the story of David and Goliath, I think back in the autumn term. It might even be before that. We're just talking about what it means and stuff. And we're like, oh, yeah, because obviously David trusted God and he beat Goliath, didn't he? He had victory. And I was just like, actually, no, the real outworking of it is actually David beat Goliath. And the story, let me make this point better. We're not telling the children that they're David. We're not saying, you're to be David in this story. You can be brave and you can beat the Goliaths in your life. That's not what we're saying to our children. We're saying, children, you're like the miserable, snivelling, scaredy Israelites who wouldn't go up against Goliath. That's who you are in this story, actually. And Jesus is David. Jesus has defeated Goliath. Jesus has defeated sin and death. And as a result, the rest of the Israelites can go and then bash the Philistines. They get to enjoy the victory as a result. So all the time we're looking for, where is Jesus in the story? Not where are you? Where's the moral behind this? Can you be a bit braver? It's like, no, Jesus has won for you. He's won it. This is the gospel, and this is what we're going to live out. So just a little example in case that's new to you. But actually, you can work that right through the Bible. And there's some great books to show you how to do that. And if you want to know more, we'll probably talk about it a little bit tomorrow. We're talking about the gospel. Very exciting. On Sunday, we've been doing this kind of children's alpha, and we had 29 kids say they prayed the prayer. We don't totally know what that means. That's just like some kind of response. So we're excited about that. We're excited about kids understanding what is it that the gospel really means and making some kind of response to that. We want real dynamos, real guys who are going to go on and know the gospel and plant churches and tell their friends, all that kind of stuff. That's what we're looking for. We're not just looking to babysit them on a Sunday morning, but for them to know the gospel and let them affect their whole lives. Okay, the next part of this is why innovative? My heart kind of stopped yesterday in Steph's session where he went, we're not here to innovate. And I was like, We are. I was like, we've named our seminar track Being Innovative. Total panic. I was like, oh, I have to change it. I have to go around everyone's booklet and cross it out. But he did say, didn't he? He said, we're to imitate. We're to imitate God. And then within that, we're to be creative. Okay, so we, and that's what this point is really, is that actually we believe the gospel never changes. Its relevance never changes. It's true 22,000 years ago. It's true today. It's going to be true in 2,000 years. It's never going to change. That is the gospel that we're going to preach. That's the one that we believe in. That's what we know to be true and life transforming. That's never going to change. How we present it, though, is going to change. We need to be creative. What our society looks like here, what Brighton might look like, what up north might look like, might look differently. Different cultures, different churches, different situations means that we have to deliver the gospel in a different way. And that's fine. I love this passage in 1 Corinthians 9:22. It says, I have become all things to all men so that all by all possible means I might save some. I quite like the translation. It says, by all means, win some. And I use that when I play games and I cheat. I'm like, by all means, win some. But yes, by all means, women. Sorry, lame dad joke there. By all means, we're meant to win some. That, by also all means. Now, how are we going to reach the people that we're going to reach? So, obviously, we're not going to preach to our children the same way that we preach to the adults on a Sunday. We're going to do it differently, aren't we? And I have an absolute passion for Jesus. I thank you that he saved me. I know that he loves me. And it's the best thing that ever happened to me. It turned my life upside down. I'm a totally different person. I would hate to think what I would be like without Jesus. And I want to communicate that to children. I want to do it the best way I possibly can. I don't want to turn up on Sunday morning and go, well, this happened to me. It turned my life upside down. Here's a worksheet for you to do. I'm like, no, I want you to get excited about this as well. So I'm going to put all my energies into making sure our children's ministry is the best hour of every children's week. And this is my first plug of a book, which is from Willow Creek, which is great. It's called Making Your Children's Ministry the Best Hour of Every Children's Week, Every Child's Week. And we stole everything out of that, which is great. So steal some stuff. It's a really good book, and it's just saying, look, we've got a lot to compete with in our day and age. We all kinds of computer games and fun activities and hobbies and clubs and all that kind of stuff. We can't now just turn up and say, oh, children, here's a worksheet and this, that, and the other. We can't say, oh, church is fun. Now, I'm not saying that that it has to be that for kids to love God, because actually, God is a working children, and actually, he makes them love God. And we've got lots of children who turn up at our children's work just because they want to be with Jesus and they want to worship him. But there's some of them who don't want to be there and didn't want to come to our children's work. We've made some radical changes to make sure it is engaging. The word we use is captivating. We want them to be captivated by everything we do. So the way we do drama and games and activities, by the way our team are trained and engage and connect with them, we want it to be excellent. We don't want anything less than excellence for our children's work. We're going all out and spending lots of money on our PA in our main meeting, making sure our coffee area looks really nice. Well, I'm sure we're going to do the same for our children's work, because they don't deserve any less than our very best. And, you know, it's our best. You can't give them the best, but it's the best that you are able to give with the budget that you've been given or the time that you're able to give. But you're to give your best and not to be slapdash and in that to be innovative, to well, I say innovate, steal of other people. Do you know what I mean? To think, well, what is the best thing I can do? Okay, you guys are doing that. That seems to be working for you. We're going to try it. And think outside the box. Okay, so that's why we're being innovative. And that's the other things. So, yeah, message stays the same. It's always going to be gospel-centered, but it's going to be innovative as well. Okay, I'm going to come up in a few minutes and talk about vision, values, and setting goals and how we went through that process. But I'm going to hand over to Joe Fay, who's going to talk about how it all fits together. There, Joe.
Hi, good morning. It's great to see you here today. As Stephen said, my name is Jo Fay, and I'm the Children's Work Coordinator at Church of Christ the King. I work part-time for the church. I'm also married to Tal, who is here. He's not due in 2 days. Sorry. I also have 4 children. Jemima is 14 in 2 weeks' time. James is 11, Caitlin is 8, and Alex is 5. And together with Tao, we also head up what we call our parenting department. And so I'm involved in kind of the other side with parents as well as with children. Now, my first experience of children's ministry was at the age of 14. This is me at 14. Basically, I knew I wanted to be a teacher from probably about the age of four. I think it was either ticking the register or having my toys in a row and me actually teaching them. I'm not quite sure what the idea came from. And so I started to work in the local children's Sunday school at the age of 14. And my kind of classroom was a caravan in the church car park. And I had about 8 or 9 5- to 6-year-olds because there wasn't actually room in the main church hall. And it was quite bizarre. A couple of years ago, I was sorting out at our offices the kind of loads of stuff that had been accumulated over the years. And I came across the curriculum, I think it was Scripture Press, that I had used in the 1980s. And it was kind of like a blast from the past. It was like this huge A3 paper envelope with the kind of pre-printed Bible characters with Velcro on the back. And I'm sure we had smelly stickers as well. And it was kind of like, you know, a lot has changed in children's work in the last 26 years. And a lot, and I've changed a huge amount as well. And during these next three sessions, you know, our hope and our prayer is that each one of you will be inspired by what you hear. But you'll also be equipped, and you'll also be motivated to go back to your churches with a renewed vision and also a renewed passion for children's work. For some of you here, these sessions will just be confirmation that what you're doing right now is good and is the right thing. For others of you, it will provide you with the tools that you need to shape and to develop what you're already doing. And for some of you here, it may be that you feel actually you've been given a framework to start from scratch. So how does it all fit together? Why do we need children's work? What is a vision and why do we need one? What are goals and what are values? And how do you apply them to what you're doing? As Stephen said, we're going to be quite theoretical today, but also we want to be practical because we want you to be able to take what you hear today and use it. So rather than just being something that you hear and it's quite nice to hear, actually we want to give you the tools for you to go back. So we want to be quite practical as well in what we do. Now, children's ministry is like a great adventure. It's exciting, often unpredictable. It's hard work. It takes hours of planning and commitment for what sometimes can feel a bit of an uphill struggle. But when you see those glimpses of glory, when you see those breakthroughs, however big, however small, it just makes all the effort and the endless hours that you've spent cutting up the craft and choosing the worship songs, just all of that just seem totally worthwhile. We want to be leading and we want to be building dynamic children's work. We don't want to have, we want to have a ministry that withstands the test of time. We don't want to be surviving week after week. We need to have a destination, but we also need to have a plan about how we're going to get there. And as a team, we need to be constantly reviewing and evaluating what we're doing. What are we teaching them? How are we teaching them? And we need to look to see where the children are at and respond to that rather than going through, well, we've always done it like this. This is what we always do in autumn. This is what we always do in spring. It's about listening to the Holy Spirit and his promptings rather than doing things our way. I think for me, and I hope for you, the best part of this adventure is that God is at the center. And he has placed each of us here, whatever role we're doing, each of us here in a ministry that has a potential to change lives. Now, in Hebrews 11, we see the common thread of many great Bible characters is their faith-filled lives. Noah displayed amazing faith, building a boat in an area which as yet had never seen rain. Abraham remained steadfast in his faith, even when his wife laughed. And Moses, although he took a little bit of persuasion, eventually had the faith to believe that he was on a God-directed mission. And as for Joseph, I mean, he could have easily have given up in his circumstances. It's a great story that we teach to our children and just the trials that he went through. But he shows a wonderful demonstration of true faith in difficult times. And we as children's workers, whatever role we play, share a common ground with these Old Testament men. We need faith to know that we can build children's work that is healthy, that is vibrant, that is life-changing and is dynamic. But it also takes faith to know when you need to bring change. And it always takes faith to maybe even start again. Often when we talk about bringing change, we can often think, well, it means I might have to change things. And we've done it this way, and the person who was doing the job before me has always done this way, and this is the way that they told me to do it, so, you know, I can't kind of change it. Actually, you can. But it just takes faith. And it's when you realize that you need more team and you look around your congregation and you think, oh my goodness, who on earth is going to come and join the team? And it's the realization that you need to ask your leaders for a budget so that you can have resources to help you with what you're doing. And maybe even you need to look at the way that the building is being used so you can have more space so that you can actually break your age groups down even smaller. But all these challenges can put us off pursuing what we feel God is calling us to do. But that is where faith comes in. Faith enables us to ask God what he wants us to do in our children's ministry. Faith enables us to trust God that he will provide that extra team, that money that we need to buy those resources, and also the gifting that we need in people. Psalm 127, verse 1 says, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. God has to build your children's ministry. It's not something that you're doing alone. Now, God spoke to me very clearly about 4 years ago as regards to my role here at Church of Christ the King. Prior to that, I taught for a number of years, and then I had my first daughter, and then I went back to work teaching part-time. And then I had my second child, my son, and then it was kind of like teaching and two children just seemed impossible, so I became a stay-at-home mum. But probably when Jemima was about a year was when I first entered children's work as a volunteer. And I started in the creche, and I kind of slowly kind of worked my way up as my children got older. And it was around this time that Tal and I headed up what was then called Rainbow Corner. And this was our 3.5 to 5-year-old age group. It just so happened that the lady who was heading up needed to take some time out. So she asked if we would caretake it. And we were like, yeah, that's great. You know, our children are in this group. That's fine. So we started to head up the team. And also, it was around this time that the lady who was overseeing the children's work decided to go back into full-time teaching. God called her back into secular teaching. And so the vacancy was there for a children's work coordinator. And at no point did I ever think or want to become and work for the church. You know, I had a young child at home. Alex was about 18 months, and I was a stay-at-home mum, and, you know, I probably was going to go back into teaching when he started school, but that's where my life was going. And we went to a Bible week called New Wine, which my parents kind of drag us off to every now and again. And Tal and I were involved in what's called an intergenerational small group, which is where you have a Bible study with adults and children together. And so I was quite keen to kind of go in any seminars to do with, you know, children's small groups to kind of get ideas with how we could develop ours at home. And we kind of looked through the seminar and we kind of picked ones, and I got this one on, it's called Children's Cells. And I thought, obviously, that's you know, what I need to go to. And so Tao stayed in the tent with the kids and I went to the seminar. And on the way to the seminar, God just so clearly in my head said, I want you to do Claire's job. Claire was the lady who had done the job previously. And it was one of those, is that you, God? Or was that just me thinking it because I'm going to a seminar? Okay. And then I kind of went, well, actually, I can't because of Alex. And as a brought up in an Anglican home, my mum always told me, ask for confirmation if ever God speaks to you. So I said, okay, God, if this is you, let Alex be my confirmation. And I went to the seminar, and it was all about children's work. And it was so bizarre, because I ended up at the end of the seminar speaking to a guy who was running an after-school club, basically kind of helping him, telling him how to shape his after-school club. And I walked away and it was like, God, that was you. You know, you enabled me to speak into this man's children's work. And I went back to the tent, and I didn't tell what God had said. But just slowly, over the next couple of days, God just started to kind of niggle away at me about this job. And I went to a seminar on, it was all about women in church history. And I basically just spent the whole seminar just writing and writing. And the people around me must have thought, this woman's so spiritual. She's writing so many notes. And the seminar was incredibly heavy about women being martyred for their, you know, martyred and stuff. And it's like, there's this woman writing frantically. But basically, God just opened a floodgate of ideas of how he wanted me to bring change to the children's work at CCK. And when I got home, I still hadn't told Tao, because it was kind of like one of those, I'm not sure if this is you, God, so I'm just going to kind of put it there. And yeah, you've opened my eyes. And it was, God gave me a real taste of what he wanted me to do. And it was kind of like, I'm still not sure if this is you. And I was speaking to a friend of mine, and I was just saying, we had a really good time, and I went to the seminar, and it was really great. And she said to me, Jo, you should do Claire's job. I'll have Alex. And it was like, whoa, that's my confirmation. And so I spoke to the elder in charge and said, this is what God is calling me to do. This is my vision. This is where I feel he's leading me. And it was like, have I got the job? And he was like, absolutely. Now, don't get me wrong, the children's work at CCK, you know, it was really good. But God wanted to take it to the next level. And I think sometimes, you know, we can think, actually, this is going really well. But there are times when God says, actually, you're coasting. I want you to take it to the next level. And since I became the children's work coordinator, not one area has been left unchanged. There's been change in every single area, from the rooms to the age spans to how we do things. But it took faith to push it through. And I was just constantly aware that I wasn't doing this alone. And kind of, you know, I really felt that God was saying to me that unless he was at the center, then what I was doing was worthless. And so I was just really conscious of making sure that everything I brought back to him, because he was the one who gave me the vision. I wanted to do his work, not what I thought that I wanted to do. You know, God had given me a mandate, and I wanted to do his mandate, not the way things I wanted to do. I just wanted to share that with you, because I think, you know, sometimes we can get so caught up in the week after the week after the week that we can lose sight of actually, this is God's work that we're doing. And we need faith to push through with what we're doing. And I want us to reflect, it's quite interesting, that the verse I want to reflect on is Matthew 19:14, which was the verse that Steph spoke about yesterday. And it says, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. And I just want to focus on the words, do not hinder them. Because we need to be careful that what we do on a Sunday morning does not hinder them from meeting Jesus. And I've kind of grouped it into three kind of key guidelines just to help us just to unpack those few words. And the first one is, see kingdom potential in every child. Every child that walks through your doors on a Sunday morning, see the kingdom potential in every child. Because you need to believe that actually one day some of those boys are going to be leading churches. Some of those boys are going to be planting churches. Those boys are going to be leading families. And the girls there who are going to change lives because of their witness, because of their faith, and they're going to affect the eternities of other people. And I think when you think of children in this way, it does put more of an urgency of making sure that what we're teaching the children is gospel-centered, is biblical, and is truth. Because we want them to understand it, but we also want them to respond. We don't want it just to be head knowledge. We want it to be heart knowledge as well. The second thing, what we do really matters. Now, this may seem quite a strange thing to highlight, but it's the fact that if your children's work is good, is effective, is engaging, is captivating, the children will enjoy it and they'll want to come back. How many families stop attending church because of the struggle to get their children to go isn't just worth the effort? And from a strategic standpoint, to reach families is just such a wise investment. It's a church, there are church-wide benefits on all sides of a thriving children's ministry. And also, you know, we're not a child-minding service. And it makes me sad when you hear people say, but we're just looking after the children. We're not just looking after the children. We want to see children grow in the Lord so that they will be blameless and holy in the presence of God our Father on the last day when Jesus returns. So we must never lose sight of this bigger picture because we're working towards a heavenly goal. And thirdly, we need to become more effective every year. You need to continually evaluate what you're doing and how you're doing it. Our ministry should never stand still. Stagnation is a quick pathway to hinder children from Christ. Jesus told us to strive for more than just what's expected. His parable about the talents in Matthew 25 reinforces that we should be constantly looking for ways to make more out of the ministry that he's entrusted to us. We need to be creative. We need to explore new ways to make it happen. We need to not be afraid of making changes. What was effective 10 years ago, what was effective 26 years ago, may not be effective now. And we need to just know where our children are at. I think one of the greatest lessons I've learned over these last few years is to meet the children in my church, in my group, where they're at, not where I think they're at. And just finally, I just want to just remind us of in Jeremiah 2:13, it says, God says to Jeremiah, "You, my people, have sinned in two ways. You have rejected me, the source of life-giving water, and you tried to collect water in cracked and leaking pits dug in the ground." And here, the prophet is rebuking the people for rejecting God and trying to dig their own wells to get the water. Instead of trusting God, they try to solve the problem themselves. And we can fall into that trap too. We see a need and immediately we want to fill it. Immediately we want to sort it out. And often we can forget to involve God in our plans, from the very tiniest details to the big details. And if we don't involve him in our plans, then ultimately we won't make the difference. And we could be striving in our own strength and not in God's. And just finally, there is a strength and certitude and a peace that comes from knowing that the work you are involved in was given to you by God. And he needs to be at the center of all that you do. I'm going to pass you over to Stephen.
That's great. Thanks, Jane. So just a lot there to think about already in terms of taking it forward. I just want to have a look at practically what's the first step. You think you're convinced about the fact that children's ministry is important and you're convinced that it needs attention and excellence. Well, the first step to take is to look at your vision and the values and the goals that you're going to build that children's work around. So we're going to have a look at this. I'm going to give you just a quick rundown on what each of these things is, and then we're going to have some group work, which is always very exciting. So this is based on this verse here. "Therefore, go," I put it in big letters, "go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." Joe's already kind of alluded to the fact that if you're not taking ground, you start to stagnate. And I hate maintenance. It's quite a strong word, but I hate it. If I ever get stuck in a job where you're just maintaining something, then I very quickly get my head down. I very, very quickly feel the drudgery. And I know that's something to do with my character more than anything, actually. But there's something about persevering. But there is a sense of actually, if you know you're going somewhere, actually the graft is a lot easier, isn't it? If you know actually we're setting our sights from going somewhere. And so it's good to have a vision. Just turn to my page here. We're not just called to maintain, but we're to go and make disciples. Jesus didn't say, "Stay where you are, wait and make disciples." He said, "Go." And that means there's some active there. It means really going for it. Okay, it's not about that getting a vision. It isn't become about becoming a corporate identity. I sometimes worry about that when I hear people talking about, oh, you've got to get yourself a vision or a tagline. You're thinking, well, I'm not a coffee shop or I'm not a kind of a mobile phone company, you know, bring up some random taglines, everyone remembers it. I bring it up because actually, I believe I want to go somewhere. And if I want to go somewhere, I want to make plans. I want to map out where I'm going. I don't want to go aimlessly. I want to go with real purpose. And so that's where we get a vision. And it should really help you then to build a ministry around it. And has lots of different benefits, which I'm going to talk about. When you get a vision, though, you need to do it in line with where your church is going. There's a real danger that you can build a children's ministry on its own little entity. You've got it. You've got it. The rest of the church leadership aren't like interested in it, so you'll just get on with what you want to do. And actually, as much as we want to submit it to God, part of submitting it to God is actually submitting it to the elders and saying, look, this is where I think we should be taking the children's ministry. Does this fit with where you see it fitting in with the rest of the church? Does this fit where we as a church are going? So that's very much how we've done it. When we wrote our proposal for where we want to take the children's work, we gave it to the elders and said, look, you know, is this okay? Where do we need to be taking it? And actually, I spent a lot of time with our lead elder talking about where the church was going. So when I came to write it, I was already in the mindset of like, this is where our church is going. We want to reach the city of Brighton Hove in these particular ways. How can we work that right down through the children's work? So if the rest of the church is being gospel-centered and preaching the gospel every Sunday, okay, we're going to do the same. If the church is going to be missional and wants to make sure that everything we do reaches the lost, then we're going to do the same in our children's work. And so we built our vision that way. Okay, and if you do a vision well, it gives purpose to what you're doing. So even on those hard mornings where little Johnny is sitting under a table refusing to come out, or where you seem to have done the teaching and at the end of it, and you get to your small groups and you're like, what did you learn this morning? They're like, nothing really. You're like, but we learned something, didn't we? Like, was it something about God? It's like, yes, a bit more. Jesus? Yes, a bit more. No, sorry. You're like, that's okay, we've got a purpose. This is just a learning curve. Brilliant. So having vision helps you on mornings like that when it's a hard graft or where you've got to deal with buildings or budgets and resources. I find that having a vision, knowing this is where we're going. If you know, like Joe is saying, actually each of these children has kingdom potential. This is worth my time and energy. This is where we're going. Suddenly you're able to deal with the hard bits along the way. It also gives you confidence, it gives your team confidence, and it gives your parents confidence. They know that they're not just dropping their kids off for a babysitting service. They know they're going to drop them off and know that something's going to happen while they're there. It gives your team confidence of, again, where they're going. This is why we're doing this. This is what we're going for. And they know that when you're putting preparation in and stuff, that it's not just aimless. Okay, it keeps you just from just maintaining. I've covered that already, really. And it also gives you a framework for feedback. Joe mentioned that a little bit, and I'm going to mention it a little bit more a bit later. It gives you a framework for feedback. If you haven't got a vision or values or goals, people can ask you in the morning, how was it? And you'll go, yeah, it was good, thanks very much. And it's like, well, what do you mean by that? Why was it good? Did kids move on in terms of knowing more about the gospel? Have you reached any of your aims or goals or any of that kind of stuff? Or was it just no one kicked off this morning, or we didn't get too much mess on the carpet? Is that a good morning for you? No, a good morning should be like, actually, we were a step further towards achieving our vision or achieving our specific goals. So step one is get a vision. Get a vision. Okay, and this is what you want your children's work to be. And for us, it's just a little strap line. I'm not going to give you any of our vision, values, and goals a bit later, but it's kind of a strap line. This is what we want it to be. And you'll have fun writing it out billions of times, getting the right wording, because this is, you want it to be memorable. You want to be able to reel it off, which I struggle to do, which is hilarious. But you want all your team to know it as well. Like, this is why we're doing this. This is what we're going for. Okay, so it needs to be clear and precise, and it needs to be memorable. Okay, step two is get some goals. Okay, and these are what you want your children's work to achieve. They also need to be clear, and they also need to be memorable as well. Okay, but they need to be ambitious. I hope you come away from this week being ambitious. Even as you go away into the rest of the sessions, I hope this is the session you remember. You let God just keep speaking to you, even during worship times. I often find during worship times, I'm trying to focus, but I just know that God's speaking to you about something. I have to write something down. Like, I think God's speaking to me, but we need to go forward on this front. I hope God does the same for you this week, that you get some ambitious goals that you find in God that are faith-filled, like Joe was talking about. Not just good ideas, but God ideas. So we're done there. And having real vision. Like, this is ambitious. On the other side of that, they do need to be achievable. Okay, it's not like I think every child in our city should come to our children's work next week. That's it. That's what I'm going for. It needs to be achievable as well. But I do want it to be ambitious. And the last one, again, is measurable. Okay, so they're goals that you can measure at the end. Okay, then, and the last one is get some values. And this is how you want your children's work to operate. These need to be clear so you know what they are. Not necessarily memorable. We have 8 values, and I live with them, but they're not necessarily things I expect my team to be able to reel off all the time. It should kind of be a part of what you are type of thing, and I'll give some examples of that. So for us, gospel-centered is one of them. One of them is also the primary role of the parent. Okay, so whatever we do on a Sunday, it should be in support of what parents are doing. We are not their primary discipler. And I say this to our parents all the time. We've had a couple of parent consultation type mornings recently. And I think the first thing I say to them is like, you know what? Your children are your responsibility. They are not mine, first and foremost. When I get to heaven and I stand before God, God will be asking me about how I've stewarded my time, how I've led my wife, how I've led my 3 sons, almost 4 sons, how I've led them. That's what God's going to ask me about first, long before he asks me about our children's work. And I said to parents, that's what God's going to do for you. He's going to ask you, how have you led, how have you discipled your children? Ultimately, you're not responsible for if they get saved, but you are responsible that you lead them. So that's one of our values. And so we know, actually, we're going to try really hard, but it's releasing for your team to know, actually, we are to do our very best, but ultimately, they need to be discipled during the week by their parents. And that works out in the way that we want to support parents by giving them materials and all that kind of stuff. So there's just a couple of values. We'll discuss some more of them later once you've done your own. Yeah, actually, let's go into group work now. What we're going to do is we're going to get into groups of 4 or 5, I think would be a good number. And I'm going to give you a sheet of paper. And I want to imagine you are in a church that has a children's work of 50 children, okay, from the age of 0 to 12, okay. And I want you to think, what are the vision, what are the goals? Don't worry about the vision statement because that could take forever. But think, what are some of the goals that you want to go for? What is it that you want to see happen? And what are some of the values that you're going to work on? So we'll do goals first, and then I'll give you a little cutoff, and then we'll do values. Then we'll share back just some of the things. By all means, bring in the stuff that you're already doing. Some of you may have already been through this kind of process and you think, this is what we're going for. And just share, and share why you've done it. We want other people to benefit from these conversations. Okay, so get yourselves into groups of 4 and 5, and then you can meet me over there at the table and get a piece of paper and a pen. I'm just going to say that again for the tape so they know. We're now going to go for the goals that we would have in our children's work. So if you want to shout out, we'll start with this group here. Just shout out one of your goals for us. Okay, so. Okay, fine. So putting in definite times where they engage with God in some way, whether that be prayer or times in the Spirit and stuff. Okay, so you really want them to be able to meet tangibly with God, is that right? Yeah, okay, cool. That's another group. Yeah, next group. You want to see children come into a personal relationship with Jesus. It's a good one. Okay, yeah, next group. Right, okay, children take an active role, so in terms of leadership, active role, and that's great, yeah, that's a good goal. Next one, shout. Great, develop an evangelistic heart in our children, that's good. Get them to see that kind of bigger picture of being about it, good point, well done. Yep, next. Yep, great, get them, make sure they're equipped for bringing God into the rest of their lives, yeah, I suppose. That's good. Yeah. Okay, so raise the profile of children's work in the church. Raising the profile of the children's work in the church. Okay, making the whole church aware that children's work is important. Okay. Okay, next group, yeah. Great, okay, so two-pronged growth. Growth within the actual child in terms of their own spiritual God and spiritual God in their own spiritual walk with God, and also growth in terms of numerical, in terms of seeing the group grow either by friends coming, I presume, yeah. That kind of thing. Yep. Okay, great. Let's group down here. To have fun. Absolutely, yeah. You want to have fun. Okay. Okay, you guys got one for us? Oh, they've got all of those listed down already. Yeah, whatever. Okay, so you got some girls. Okay. She said, yeah, I understand. Whatever. Shh. Right, okay. So, got to leave them there for a sec. So, there are our goals. Definite God times. So, you'll make sure there's real times when you're meeting together where you are seeking God and knowing Him amongst you. Okay, seeing children come into a personal relationship with Jesus. Obviously, that's brilliant. Children taking an active role in your children's work. Make sure they're being properly engaged and helping to lead it as well. That's great. Develop an evangelistic heart. And for the children to develop their own evangelistic heart, they get their own sense of that they are to go themselves. That's good. And that they're equipped to bring God into every area of their life. So you're making disciples, not just asking them for a response, but actually they're disciples living out God right through their life. Raising the profile of the children's work, so all the church realize that it's important, that we're a church family, that children are an important part of that. That's good. And see growth in children, in their own spiritual walk with God, and also in terms of numbers attending your children's work, and to have fun. Brilliant, they're all very good. We have three goals at, second? Friendship. Good, absolutely. We've got that. Who's got that? Who's got the one that they'd really like to say? Jez, have you got one you'd like to say? Great, okay. Brilliant. Okay, so the whole kind of thing of like children's work and church, you don't want to be separate, so you want the church to know who the children's work are, but yes, you do want the children's work to know what the church is and to feel connected and stuff like that as well. Is that what you're saying? Yep. Okay, yep. Moving the gifts of the Holy Spirit, absolutely. I think that's what they were going for, kind of definite God times, wasn't it? That kind of thing as well. That's good, yep. Yeah. Okay, make sure so children feel valued in terms of making sure they're connecting with a worker. So in terms of friendship, make sure there's time, okay, with adults and with their peers. Yeah, make sure each child feels valued. That's the goal, isn't it? That's the kind of thing you're going for, and the outworking can be in various different ways. Okay, so these goals don't need to be actual things you're necessarily doing. They're not the actual action. They're what you want to see at the end. So they can be worked out in very different ways. I'm just going to give you the three goals that we go for at Church of Christ the King. We want children to be, you can write these down, they're not the ones, they're not the right answers. They encompass a lot of these, but these are the ones we went for. I prayed a lot about these, and we talked a lot and stuff. We want our children to be engaged. Okay, that means being engaged with God. We want them to really engage with who God is, okay, on a personal level. We don't want just them to come away being taught about the Bible. We want to engage with that, engage with God. So that means, you know, we want them to moving in the work of the Spirit. It means we want them to get saved. We want them to be disciples. So we want them to engage with God. We want them to be connected. That means we want them to be connected to the church. So they really know what the church's vision is. We want them to be connected with workers, so we make sure we have small groups, that's outworking of that, so they get time with a worker who's spending time discipling them, and we desperately want them to be connected with their peers. In Brighton Hove, we have children from 30 schools in our children's work, and so Sunday is often the only time they're going to meet up with other Christians, and so we want to make sure there's a good amount of time they connect with one another so they can build good Christian peer relationships that will carry on through the church into the youth, etc. And so their main influence isn't just those they connect with outside, but who they connect with inside. Okay, and the last one is captivated. Okay, we want our children to be captivated by everything that goes on. So our teaching's got to be excellent. Our worship's got to be excellent. Our fun times have got to be excellent. It's got to captivate their attention. We want this to be the best part of their week. We have not achieved that goal, but that's where we're heading. It's ambitious to say that a child's going to say, "What's the best thing about your week?" I know what it is. It's COGS, which is what our children's work's called. It's COGS. I love going to COGS. It's the best part of my week. That's our goal. It's quite ambitious, but that's what we're going for. Okay, so the goals. We're going to go on to values. Let's start this side instead, because they seem to have all the answers down here, apparently. No, Jackie, go on. Give us a value.
Okay.
Okay, so you want a motivated team that they feel valued and know what they're doing is worth well. Is that right? Yeah. Okay, great. Next one. Okay, so a place where each child can feel accepted, you know, wherever they've come from, whatever background, they feel valued and loved. The whole kind of Matthew 19, that let little children come. Okay, that's great. Yep, feeling valued. Next group. Yep, absolutely. Christ-centered, gospel-centered. Absolutely. Brilliant. Next one. Yeah, Gracefield. Okay, so knowing adults don't like them, there's a whole thing. Gracefield's brilliant, though. Children's work and youth work, it's so easy to be legalistic and about morals, but you want to be Gracefield. That's really good. Okay, yeah. Got a buddy at the back? No, you didn't get that far? That's cool. You're two getting amazing goals. That's fine. Yeah, at the back? No, it's fine. Well, share what you've been doing, just so we know you've been doing something. That sounds like a great value. It's a place where both non-Christian and Christian children feel loved and valued. That's good. Okay, so it's a place where anyone can come into. That's good. Yep, this group over here. Great. So prayer soaked. Everything you do is soaked in prayer, like Joe was saying earlier. Not going on your own, going off on your own thing and just getting on with it, but make sure you're following God and God's going with you on it. Yep, okay, next one. Great, yeah. Recognising that we're not just doing things for children because they can be great leaders when they're older, but children have got something to give now. They are actually themselves disciples of Christ. Great. Okay, great. Okay, so being role models and modelling worship. Okay, great. Those are really good. So let me just read them back to you, okay? Having a motivated and valued team needs to be a place where children are accepted and valued. It's Christ-centred. It's grace-filled, an environment where both non-Christian children are loved and valued. Non-Christian and Christian children are valued. Everything is soaked in prayer. Recognise children's future potential in God, but realising actually they're God's children right now and from the lips of babes. He will receive worship, okay? That they're role models, words to be role models in worship as well, and make mini worshippers. Okay, so that's good. Okay, I'll give you our values as well, so you can take the correct answers down now. No. Okay, these are ours in no particular order. We are gospel centered, and we have an expectation of encountering God. Okay, we're expecting that God will meet us when we meet together. Fellowship is a big one. Again, we want our guys to meet together. Excellence is a value. The primary role of the parent, I've talked about that already. That's a massive one for me. I'm really believe in that. Massive role of the parent. It's age appropriate, which means that everything we do caters for that group and for that space in time. We know in 5 years' time, the curriculum that we roll out now might not be appropriate to them. So it needs to be appropriate. It needs to be appropriate to the guys we're speaking to there and then. We want trained team, and we put in that motivated as well. We really like that. We want our team to feel equipped to do their task. I know when I joined Children's Work 9 years ago, I joined it because I wanted to get to know more people in the church. And I remember for the first 6 months, I didn't have a clue what I was doing. You're just kind of thrown in the deep end and just kind of wangled your way through. I don't want any person to join our team feeling that's the way. I want them to know this is what we're asking you to do this morning. This is what our expectations are. And this person's going to help you do that. And you can come back and ask questions. I don't want any team to feel untrained. Okay. And outward looking, we want to be missional. Okay. So that means we want our children to be like that. And we want our actual children's work to be like that as well. So kids who are coming out from outside coming in. They have a very special place. We have someone who's assigned to new, we have new children every week. That's the kind of the size our church is at. So we make sure we've got people on the doors to just deal with them. And they deal with them all morning, and they can feed back to parents at the end. So there's a real sense of valuing them and then feeling this is a safe space for them. So those are some goals and values. I wanted just to say that with those things, it's really important to be able to review them afterwards, okay, to keep reviewing this process. Interesting, one of ours, age appropriate, we used to put child-centered, and I was looking at it a few months ago, so I don't mean child-centered, actually, because I think that's a really bad value. I want it to be, what I actually meant was age appropriate, and I don't want anybody confused by it being child-centered. We don't do things just because a child wants to do it. It's quite a worldly thing. It's like, oh, we parent children about how children want to be parented. No, we don't. The Bible very clearly says that as parents, we give them the lead. You know, if God parented us like that and leave ourselves to be child-centered, things would go very badly wrong very quickly. So, yeah, so just keep changing them, keep reviewing them, looking at your goals, saying, are we achieving these goals? Where are we missing it? So for us, we had to go back to kind of the whole captivating thing and say, it is captivating, but it's not particularly fun. We haven't really got that aspect down. We've lost a bit of the fun in all the kind of changes we've made, kind of some of the fun element we've lost, so we want to get that back again. We also had to work a bit harder at the expectation of encountering God. Our worship times aren't as good as I'd like them to be honest with you. We used to have quite a lot of live worship as a mixture of CD worship. I haven't got a problem with CD worship at all. But we used to have kind of a good mixture and a real expectation that we'd have times just listening to music and worshipping God and bringing words and gifts and stuff. And recently I feel like we're just rushing through it. We're not taking time to encounter God. And so it's really helpful to go back and to this and say, okay, let's look at our children's work again. How's it been for the last month? Is it hitting these things? And just so it's a good review process. Okay, what's the time? Anything, how much time we got left? We've got 10 minutes. So I'm going to, Jez and Andy, do you want to come up as well? And Joe, if you've got a question that you'd like to ask about, particularly about today, okay, we're going to cover lots of things in the next couple of weeks, but about vision and values that you'd like to ask, then you can ask now and quickly.
On the parent priority that the parents put, not priority, what word do I mean? Responsibility for raising their kids in a godly way. And also you want an environment that is open for kids coming from backgrounds where their parents aren't Christians. How do you deal with when kids come from parents who aren't Christians and they, you know, that sort of thing?
Articulate. Yes, very articulate. No, it's good, yeah. So the question is, what about kids that come from homes where they're not, haven't got Christian parents? The first thing is that you still need to honour parents, even from those homes. That's really important. You know, you can't suddenly think, oh, we've got it, your parents haven't got it together. You've got to still teach in line with the way you teach at home. So some of it's that. How do we deal with that? It makes it interesting. We still, if their kids come to our children's work, you have still got a license. So we still send a home a sheet each week saying these are good activities to follow up what we've done on Sunday, and we'd expect parents to do it, even if they're from non-Christian homes. Or we have, what often happens is you've got one parent that's Christian and one parent that's not, type of thing. And so we still send that home. Some parents, sometimes have a feedback of like, well, I don't want to do this with my child, I don't believe. It's like, well, do you want your child to believe? And they're like, well, we kind of do. So I don't have a better answer. Anyone got a better answer on that? How do you kind of follow through that value of parents being primary discipler? Maybe you can't. I don't know. You've got an answer?
I think it's quite important not to go against the parent-child relationship.
Absolutely. Yeah, so just making the point again, yeah, that you don't want to go against that parent-child relationship, but they are the primary discipler. Yeah? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's great. I think I know for myself that part of God's grace in my life is that I was brought up in a Christian home. But for kids that aren't, don't have that, there's kind of that weird kind of disadvantage. But God is no less gracious to them. And actually, some of the outworking of that is to make sure they do link up with peers that they can then follow through the rest of the week. And so they come back doing that way. Yeah, that's great. Any other questions? Yeah. 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 Yeah, okay, so interesting. So you're talking about you do a kids club during the week, do you? Okay, so talking about how do you get kids from a kids club into coming onto Sundays. How do you do that whole reach out thing? Thinks, what I'm going to do is I'm going to fudge the answer and say that Jez is going to talk about that on Wednesday a little bit, aren't you, Jez? Aren't you, Jez? Yeah, sure. Because I'm actually coming to Kids Club. I have some experience in that as well, but so does Jez. And he'll talk about a little bit why they shut down the Kids Club and how they've changed their children's work to address some of that. Yeah, okay. That's cool. Okay, any other questions? I think we're probably out of time. Go on, Jez, you got a question? Yeah. Great, I have missed out a big section of my thing. Actually, is the point of this isn't just to do it for yourself, it's to do it for your church. So once you've got your vision, your values and aims, produce it, put it on something really nice, make sure all your workers have got it in their hand, make sure all your parents have got it in their hand. We had a big vision thing where we got all the parents together and said, this is what we're going for, this is why we're going for it, we want you on board, we're here to support you, that's our vision. So, you know, you need to feedback so we know. And again, this term, we kind of had a feedback session where we took parents out of the worship on a Sunday morning. So, you know, this is an extra time for you during the week, just come out during the worship, and we're just going to talk about what this looks like, give any feedback you need to give, which is always fun. But yeah, so you make sure everyone knows about it, and then everyone gets an opportunity to feedback about it as well. Get it out there. Last question.
It's more of a, how do you do that when, firstly, you've got kids out the whole time anyway?
Yeah.
And your team are constantly doing that, and obviously to try and pull a large section of the church out of a main Sunday meeting requires quite a lot of support from eldership.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. For us it works. And we were able to pull it off and it was great, but like you say, that's not work for everyone. If most of your team are parents or most of your church are parents, then that means you've nicked all the parents. So you need to find an innovative and a creative way to do that, or someone needs to offer this gentleman a way of doing that. If you're feeling stretched as it is, Andy, do you want to answer it?
Yeah, just the way that we do it is we get together with our team. Our church service starts at 10:30. We got our team there for 10:10, and if they've got kids, they bring kids to those. We go through our morning kind of thing, and then that's my opportunity to kind of shape the way that they go about the kids' work. So one thing for us is that we're quite keen that the guys that spend time with the children, and I'll talk about this tomorrow when we look at how we make it work on a Sunday, but when they spend time with the children, that they're not just kind of hanging at the back while the kids are kind of doing the action songs down the front and that sort of stuff. They've got to be involved, and that 10:10 time is my kind of time to really kind of get that into them, especially if they're new to the team. The other thing we did was do a big kind of email out. We do it once a month now. Our kids' work's called The Great Rotation, so we shorten it to TGR. So TGR News goes out once a month, and we basically sign up parents for that. They can opt out if they want to, but we sign them up. And so kind of there's an opportunity there that we get to kind of just email out and tell them that kind of stuff as well. And we look at what we've been looking at in the last month and kind of what's coming up as well. So that might help a bit.
Great, thanks, Andy. Okay, that's us done for today. I hope it's been helpful. Tomorrow, Joe and Andy will be talking about how to make it work. So, yeah, there'll be lots of very, very practical stuff tomorrow again. That's my question. Thank you very much.